Great to see y'all. And so, as we all know here, the 12th day of Christmas was last Thursday, right? Y'all knew that, right? Epiphany was on Friday. And so Christmas is now fully and finally, and for some of us, thankfully and mercifully, over. It's the new year, right? It's the new year. It's January. January means something like this. The world just went on a diet. Meanwhile, in Louisiana, I love that. Isn't that great? Of course, it's really not all Louisiana, even, that's into this. Where I grew up in Baton Rouge, we didn't really know about king cake. That's just a little way up the road. Think about this. Poor people in North Louisiana, they don't have any idea what king cake is all about. It's a shame. It's a shame. Okay, so the new year began last Sunday. We were blessed with the return of Taylor Koontz, who was on leave from the United States Marine Corps. And he gave us a wonderful message, didn't he? He presented us a message on faithfulness. If you missed it, make sure you go to the Tammany Oaks website. Did y'all know we have a website? It's an awesome website. If you go there, you can see that right over here in this corner, the thing called Sermon Audio. You click on that, and you can listen to Taylor's sermon. Right, David? I mean, it's going to be up there soon if it's not up already. But while you're waiting, in case it's not up there, there's other sermons you can actually listen to. You can find several sermons dating back to June, even. And more are coming. It's going to be a really great resource to have. And if I may say so, this is an excellent website. It is an excellent website. I'm very grateful to David and to Bethany and to Don Moore for the work that they do in building and maintaining this website, which is the digital face Tammany Oaks Church of Christ, which in today's world is very often the very first encounter that people have with our church. And it's also going to be the only encounter that people have with our church if it's not, they don't see something that they like there. So it's got to be done right. And they have been and are continuing to do it right. And so I'm very grateful to them, and I hope you are as well. So, we begin a new year, as always, with hope, with bright hope and anticipation for a future that is going to be wonderful and amazing. Isn't that kind of what we always think? Things are going to be better this year. Things are going to be different this year. Things are going to be moving in a direction that's toward the good this year, right? It's amazing how we pretty much always think that way. Every new year, despite the evidence of the past years, which tells us just the opposite. Things will be different, but usually the differences tend to be going the opposite way, towards the worse. You'd think that by now we'd have been burned so many times by New Year's hopes that didn't measure up, by New Year's hopes that literally crashed right in front of us, that we'd avoid any kind of optimism whenever January rolls around. And yet, somehow, for the most part, hope lives on in us. In fact, each year is always a new hope. It's a new hope, isn't it? And it doesn't matter if you're on episode 4 or episode 34, right, Bethany? Or 64 or whatever. We start each year with new hope. Hope that tomorrow really will be different. Better and brighter than yesterday. And I love this about humans. It's almost impossible to stamp out the hope in our spirits. I think God loves this about us too. Because hope is God's gift to humans, to mankind. So, what I'd like for us to do is make God happy and have a new hope and a new dream. A big dream for this year, for yourself, for your family, for this church family. May God bless us as we dream of ways to share His love and mercy and grace in our own little galaxies, in our own little worlds, in our own little spheres of influence. Because if that's not where our hopes and dreams for the new year are, well, pretty good chance we're going to be disappointed again this time next year. So that'll be a great New Year's resolution. We talked about resolutions in our Sunday morning class this morning. And it was interesting to me to find out that virtually nobody in our class has done New Year's resolutions or ever does them. Andy specifically says, I never do them. And, you know, when you're perfect, you don't have to, I guess. Kidding. How are we doing with our resolutions this year? I mean, it's only been 8 days or 7 days, seven or eight, whatever. My sister, some of you know my sister, Mary Margaret, she provided me with a quote last week on resolutions. She didn't give me the source of the quote, so I don't know who actually said this. But here's what somebody said about resolutions. Often we fail to reach our resolutions, our destinations, our potentials, etc., not because we have too many distractions, but because we have too few devotions. That one was talking to me. I don't know about any of you, but it was talking to me. I mean, I love to use the too many distractions excuse for my failures. Although I kind of dress it up and say, well, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. Anybody else in the too busy boat with me? Yeah. What will you, what will I be too busy to accomplish this year? Okay, that's the wrong way to look at it, I think. That's coming at it from the negative side. Let's look at it this way. What will you be devoted to this year? That's a better way of looking at it, isn't it? Some of you might remember that we spent several weeks last year talking about that very first church, the Jerusalem Church of Christ, and the things that those people in that church decided that they were going to be devoted to. Remember this? And they, the Jerusalem Church of Christ, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. They were devoted to the teachings, meaning not only, although it's important, not only were they present, not only were they there for the teaching, but they also incorporated it into how they lived their lives. They weren't just there to listen. They were there to figure out how do we make this part of who we are. They were devoted to the fellowship. And there's that word, koinonia, that we talked about so much last year. It means being devoted not only just to being together in communion, but more than that, devoted to a common purpose, a common goal, a sharing and intertwining of their lives. Remember, we talked about that. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. And that doesn't just mean sitting around having a meal together, which is great, by the way. And I know we all enjoy doing that with one another. But it really meant specifically the communion. They were devoted to the communion. the intimacy and the sharing of the Lord's Supper. And they did that with one another in the presence of the Lord. And I really like how we're doing our communion now. I really like how we gather together around tables and speak with one another. It's a wonderful time, and I hope we'll think more and more about that as we do that. Not just say, hey, how you doing, how the saints doing, all this stuff, but let's talk about how we're doing as family, how we're doing as being a part of God's family. And they were devoted to the prayers, to praying. They were a praying church. And as a praying church, they experienced fantastic growth, not just numerically, but spiritually as well. Do you think that prayer could have been the key for the growth that they experienced? Do you think prayer could be the key for us moving ahead in this year? So what will we be devoted to this year? What will the members of the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ devote ourselves to this year? Which brings us, I suppose, to that moment we've all been waiting for. The revelation, if you will, of this year's theme. This year's theme at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. For the last 10 years, it's been 10 years, it's been a full decade, we have had a theme. And here they are. Y'all see these over here? Some of you may have looked over here and wondered, what in the world is all this stuff? These have been our themes for the last 10 years, starting in 2013. Open doors, open hearts. 2014, light of the world. The next year, serving and growing. The next year, reaching up, reaching in, reaching out. The next year, stand. The next year, transform. The next year, I am. 2020 was vision. Then 2021 overflow, and last year, of course, back to basics. And some people might be thinking, shouldn't you actually be focused on God? It's a good point. But being focused on God is a little bit like standing on the Santa Monica Pier and trying to focus on the ocean. There's a lot of ocean out there. It's too big to focus on. And there's other stuff too, can't you see in this picture? God is far too big for us to be able to fully comprehend, to fully focus on all at once. So each of our themes over the years has been an attempt to narrow our focus while realizing that everything begins with and ends and leads back to God. So where do we go this year? What's next after a year of drilling down pretty deep into back to basics? I'll tell you something that's probably not going to surprise most of you. Coming up with a theme is hard for me. It's like really hard. It's like impossible for me. My mind doesn't work in that kind of big picture, big idea kind of way. Which reminds me, going forward into the year 2023, the shepherds are no longer going to be receiving data and information about you and about this church in letter form. We're moving into spreadsheets, much to the joy of some of our shepherds, whom I will not name. Apparently, we call this progress. I'm just kidding. The spreadsheets are actually easy, and they're easy to work with, and they work just fine. But my point is, we all think in different ways. Some people see pictures. Some people see numbers. Some people see words. Some people see spreadsheets. I struggle with big picture thinking. But we have people in this congregation who are good at it, who are really good at it. With their help, we've managed to come up with a theme for Tammany Oaks for year 2023. And as always, once the theme is finally finalized, then I turn to Bethany and I say, I need a slide, a picture that will illustrate every aspect of our theme, and so that a congregation can look at it and focus on it and remember every time we talk about it. And she says, okay, what are you kind of thinking about? And I'm like, I don't know. Go find me some options, and I'll know it when I see it. And by the way, you got 2 days. What's up with that? Can you imagine working for a boss like that? It's crazy. But you want to know what's really strange? What's really crazy about all this? It works. It actually works every year. Despite all the wackiness, despite all the chaos, despite all the anxiety, despite all the Sturm und Drang, like Andy, right? It always works out. I think it's worked out again this year, as you'll see in a minute. Last year's theme was Back to Basics. One of the suggestions that I got for this year kind of went like this. Building off this Back to Basics idea, maybe we need to transition from learning to doing. And so maybe we could do something like living out our faith. How's that sound? And I thought, well, I guess it's just more evidence that I don't do a good job up here. Because, at least in my mind, everything that I talked about last year in Back to Basics was all about moving from in here to out there. It was all about doing. It was all about living. And frankly, that is the purpose for our gathering. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every small group, every time we get together for dinner. That's about as basic as church can be. I mean, if we are devoted to the teaching that happens here, it's not so that we can make a good grade on a test. It's not even so that we can answer the Bible category questions on Jeopardy. It's so we can talk about Jesus with people. Amen? And all of it, and here it is, our theme for 2023, all of it is so that we can be ready. All of it is so that we can be ready. Ready? That's it? Yeah, that's it. Ready. That's pretty simple, right? We all know what ready means, right? Well, just to be on the safe side, I looked it up. And here's what ready means. Ready. In a suitable state for an activity, action, or situation. Fully and completely prepared or in fit condition for immediate use, equipped, completed, adjusted, or for an occasion or purpose, easily available, willing. Actually, I don't think I really knew what the definition of ready was until I looked it up. Which brings us back to our theme slide. And by the way, many thanks to Bethany for finding this picture and to Don Moore for reformatting it for us. And you guys make the making a habit of doing the impossible and making it look easy. And I love this picture. I love this picture for our theme. Look at this guy. Does he really look like a guy who's ready? Like he's fully and completely prepared and in fit condition to run a race? Does he really look like he's ready to run a race against these guys? Do you think any of these guys are wearing wingtip shoes or a tie? This guy looks like he was just kind of walking down the street, minding his own business, when suddenly he finds himself forced into running a race. Just as he is, ready or not, as they say. Here's some truth. That's the way most of the tests, if you will, most of the challenges that the followers of Jesus will face in our lives, this is how it happens. These tests, these challenges to your faith, they're not something that's on your calendar or on your day planner. Oh, next Tuesday I got a big test coming up. Maybe I better pray a little bit more. Maybe I better study a little bit more so I'll be ready for this. It doesn't work that way. That's not even how it worked for Jesus. You'll remember how Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, right after his baptism, he was in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting and getting ready. And Satan came to him at that time. Y'all remember this? And tempted him. Tempted him, it looks like, three times. Three ways. Jesus didn't fall for any of them. And probably some of you are thinking, well, gee whiz, if Satan would just tempt me three times, I could beat him too. But that's not what happened with Jesus. We're forgetting the last verse of that story of the temptations. When he, Satan, had exhausted every kind of temptation, the devil withdrew until his next opportunity. He wasn't through with Jesus, not by a long shot. One of those next opportunities that came along for Satan, Satan invaded Jesus' closest friend, Peter, took over his mind, took over his mouth. And Peter tried to talk Jesus out of this whole crazy idea of the cross. You know, the whole plan of salvation, of saving humanity, the plan that had been put into motion since before the foundations of the world. Peter tried to talk him out of it. That temptation came out of nowhere. That temptation came out of left field. And it came right after Jesus had commended Peter for his amazing insight into God, into his God's plans. Jesus had to fight that temptation by saying this. He turned on Peter and said, "Get away from me, you Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me." You were thinking merely from a human point of view, not from God. Which brings us back to this guy. This guy is no highly trained track star who's about to run the race that he's been preparing his whole life for. He's no highly educated, highly professional theologian or pastor or minister or priest who knows his Bible inside and out and has all the answers. This guy, he's just like you. He's just like me. Suddenly facing an unexpected spiritual challenge or test. Maybe he's not completely ready in this sense, fully equipped and completely prepared or in fit condition Maybe he's not duly equipped and completed and adjusted or arranged for this test. But you know what he is? He's willing. Do you see that? Do you see that word? Willing? Which is part of the definition of ready? He's willing. And that's what I see in you. That's what I see in everyone here who's a part of the Tammany Oaks Church. Willing. You're willing to let the Lord lead you. You're willing to let the Lord use you. You're willing to stand up for your brothers and your sisters. You're willing to stand for what's right. You're willing to devote your lives to a different kind of life, a holy life. Aren't you glad that willing is a part of the definition of ready? I came into the office on Friday to finish getting ready for this sermon. And as I always do, I turned on Bible Gateway. Bible Gateway, which is a great website resource. And every day on Bible Gateway, it has a verse of the day. A verse of the day. Do you want to know what the verse of the day was for Friday? Therefore, with your minds ready for action. Be serious. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just a coincidence, right? I was like, thank you, Jesus. I wasn't sure that I was going the right path with ready until that morning. So, Tammany Oaks, let's get serious. Let's get serious about holy living this year. Let's get our minds ready for action. Let's set our hope completely on His grace. Let's be ready. Let's stand and sing.